Thomas Ross Parry, the sun is shining.
No,
the drinks are flowing.
Well, that's true.
There's just beautiful people all around us in this lonely apartment in Denmark.
It's Tomat Attack.
Thank you for that surge of energy, Mr. Parry. I did need it. I forgot where we were. No,
ooh,
I mean,
get that tea down here.
Oh, chug, chug, chug. No, it. In all sincerity, like, yes, it is a bit of a rainy day outside, but yeah, we've got good company. We are inside. Yes. We are in the warm, surrounded by plush foxes and a pusheen.
Oh, yeah.
There's a cat. Sometime he may make an appearance on this podcast.
A pusheen just sounds like a posh cushion. But you're actually talking about some sort of famous cat, aren't you?
I am talking about, I guess, the emoji / sticker cat. I don't know what Pusheen originates from.
I've seen him on the Facebook stickers.
Yes, I think that's maybe where he came from. Maybe he was from the Korean app Line, which is like their source. Line is the biggest social messaging
thing. Said Line.
Line. Nah. But that's neither here nor there. Who knows?
Well, it's cozy, at least.
It is, yeah.
And have you been playing many games this week? Because I, for one, Matthew, haven't, really.
Hey, Tom, I'm going to give you one guess what game I've been playing this week.
Yakuza.
Yeah! Yeah.
Five.
So I have been playing five, yeah. So I beat Dead Souls. By the end of that game, I kind of came around on it. I think that game is
I think you were already coming around last time we spoke, weren't you?
I think that game's probably a... I would probably have to say a six. I don't think it's like the best game ever made. I still stand by my assessment of budget PS2 title in some respects. But after thinking about it and after watching videos of Resident Evil again and remembering how utterly bollocks those tank controls were... It's like, okay, there are some smoothness to it. You do kind of get used to the whole, hey, I'm walking around a corner, running away from a boss. I bet there's going to be zombies here. I'm going to quickly press the L2 button and flick the camera behind me so I can start shooting and things. You do get a nice variety of weapons.
Sounds like Resident Evil when you say that, like a quick turn mechanic.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yes, it is. But it was with, it locks behind you on the camera. So, like, it doesn't go where your camera's positioning. So,
oh, that was it. You explained that last week, yeah.
It's where your character's facing. So sometimes your camera could be looking at the zombies running behind you and you're like, oh, shit, I want to turn around and shoot them really quickly. And then you press L2 and then the camera will zoom behind you and then you'll be like, oh, great, cool, I'm enjoying shooting this wall. This is helping me while I get mauled.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, playing as Goda Ryoji, the Dragon of Kanzai, as from Yakuza 2, the guy with the big gun as his arm in this game, which isn't really explained. Essentially, he lost his arm as a result of the stuff that happened with Kazuma, which is kind of how they explain that he didn't just die. He's just like, oh, he just lost his arm. And so he met some like gunsmith who gave him an arm, and then he's working in like a sushi shop because he's a reformed man after Kazuma taught him the power of strength and friendship. And, yeah, then he's just got this big gun arm. And it turns out that the story behind this game, I'm going to say it, because 90% of the people aren't going to play. So if you don't want to know the spoilers of this game, skip ahead 5 minutes. Essentially, it comes down to the fact that his lieutenant, like his right-hand man, who I've forgotten the bloody name of, because you only see him like 3 or 4 times in the game, was so distraught that of what Kazuma Kiryu did to Goda that he says, like, oh, I'm gonna get them back, I need you, boss, you need to come back, you're alive. And he's like, no, I'm a reformed man now, I'm doing all this stuff. And this guy kind of goes to extreme measures because he's like, well, you are the only person I've ever believed in. If you won out of this life and if you're so easily defeated, then I'm gonna just destroy the Tojo clan and the world subsequently. So he ends up meeting with this doctor who weirdly kind of seems like a bit of a nod to Resident Evil 5, and this is like, oh, we were in Africa and we discovered this viral infection. And it turns out that like the zombies are biting each other not for brains but because the virus like is essentially a drug, and you feel so good that you want to pass it on to other people, and that's why zombies are biting people and whatever, and why they don't like kill people, they just bite them. So yeah, that happens. She's called He, and it's voiced by a man, but she looks like an old woman. It's kind of really weird.
Yeah.
I just think it's perhaps like 2012 era PS3 graphics at play for most of it, because the hair on him looks weird, but he looks like a she, and I'll probably call him she for the rest of this. I apologize. I know it's wrong.
It sounds quite Japanese.
Yeah.
Have that confusion.
Yeah, she's an arms dealer. He's an arms dealer, sorry, and he extracted this virus, and it turns out that, yeah, like I said, this virus spreads because of it, and he just wants to see the world burn, and the guy from the Yakuza, who was Goda's right-hand man, is then funding him.
Mm.
So he's like, well, I gave him all the money I stole from the clan to kill the Tojo, but actually just fuck the world. Like, this whole life is a lie, blah, right. blah, blah. And so you go through that section as Goda, and then you play as Kazuma, because it turns out that this guy had tried to abduct you, but he'd actually abducted Haruka, who was his adopted daughter. Yes. And yeah, so he goes back to Tokyo, which is completely walled off at this point by the army, and just essentially you just end up walking through all these places, killing zombies, coming across the people you'd met before. Did I mention that, like, as playing as Majima, there's a whole thing of him getting bitten by a zombie, and you're like, oh shit, when's Majima gonna turn?
No, I don't think
so. So you meet Majima, and like, you're with him, and you're like, oh fuck, I'm gonna have to fight Majima, who's gonna be a crazy powered zombie, because you fight him in all of the other games.
Is he the one with the
eye patch? The guy with the eye patch.
Yes, and you said he was really into the slaughtering of zombies.
And he was super fun to play as. Yeah. And then Goda, not so much sure, and then Kazuma, it's kind of, it goes up and down. I really think that game starts off on the wrong foot with this whole idea of playing as the lone shark from Yakuza 4, Akima. I think is his name, and yeah, I think after that it gets a lot more fun when it gets more self-aware of this is a completely ridiculous premise.
How long is it?
About 7 hours, I'd say. It's pretty short for a Yakuza game. Usually, like, I would actually say 5 is a lot shorter than people have been saying on the internet as well, but I'll get into that in a minute.
Okay.
It's about 7 hours. You can pretty much coast through it. Like I said, I have the obsessive compulsive thing of, like, I'm going to shoot all of these zombies in the head.
Yeah, you get bonuses.
Yeah, and so I was doing that rather than, like, running through just blasting people or just running through the crowd so you didn't have to kill
anything. You maybe got a little bit more out of it.
Yeah. So perhaps you could probably get about 5. I had 17% completion rate. Because I did
17.
Usually when I finish a Yakuza game, bear in mind I put like 26 hours into them on average, I get about 5.
Mm.
So there's definitely a lot less to do in this game. There's
still some replayability in there.
Yeah, there is. I don't think I'd want to, though. No. I think some of the issues with the controls completely bar it off. But then again, I genuinely think it's a really solid basis for what could have been a cool series of zombie games.
Okay. Yeah, it's sort of a one-shot thing. And
I mean, like, they make up loads of special zombies, like we're saying, that are very similar to the ones from Left 4 Dead, admittedly, but there were some cool concepts in that game that I think aren't wasted because they carry over into Yakuza 5.
So Yakuza jumped on the zombie train, basically, when it was at its peak.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Weirdly, the thing I realised as I was playing it, it weirdly feels like a House of the Dead game.
Sega?
Yeah, I know, but it's like you go from like place to place killing zombies and, you know, like most of the time you're playing over the shoulder, like third person because you're in the aim mode.
Yeah.
And so you're taking out all these zombies and then you have dialogue in between. You know, like some of the secondary cast are like, Barry's still in the mansion. Take this key in Japanese. And it's just like, and then, you know, it's almost as if that cutscene bar raises and then you kill more zombies.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bit weird. It's kind of a mashup.
No one said suffer like G did.
No, unfortunately. No. Double checking, but no, they don't. Actually, I wonder. I haven't got my phone. I was going to Google if the crazy lady actually was from House of the Dead or not, but I don't think so. I think it's a self-contained thing.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's good. The leveling up system in that game is very different to the other Yakuza games. Usually you get experience and then you get bars.
Mm.
And then you would say, like, it would tell you, like, 14 bars, and then you would hold on X, and then it would power in XP, and so you could wear it out that way.
Yeah.
But in this game, it introduced soul points, which were essentially, like, you hit a certain XP bar, and then you would get three coins called soul coins that you could then put into different systems. Actually carries over into Yakuza 5, and I think it's a smart way of doing the leveling, because it allows you to go further into the character creation, not so much as Yakuza 4 did. It doesn't split out all the move sets and stuff. It seems to very much be back to like Tai Chi, Soul and stuff in the first Yakuza games, so there are only like limited options and you need to level through that tree to get
stuff. Sounds like a username.
Tai Chi Soul 87. There you go, there's one for free, person looking for an MSN address. So it's all good. It's a cool system. I liked it better in Dead Souls because you had more customizability with it, but that's what it said.
Okay.
Yakuza 5 is a very good game.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know yet if it's better than 4.
No, because how long? You haven't played that much.
I've sunk about 7 hours into it.
Okay. Oh, wow.
That's played quite a bit.
Of the game.
You start this game in a very, perhaps, unusual way. So, as I said, there was a big cinematic entrance and it lasted like what felt like an hour. But it starts with Daigo, the head of the Tojo clan, like the guy you appointed back in Yakuza 2 to lead this Japanese mafia faction because you didn't want to do it.
Right.
And you get in you were talking with him because you are a taxi driver. Kiryu Kazuma is now driving a taxi for unexplained reasons, and he's going by the name Suzuki.
Yeah.
And, like, Daigo gives you this long speech about how this, the Ryo clan are the people from Yakuza 2 who Goda, guy with gun arm in Dead Souls, was the leader of.
Mm-hmm.
How they are scaling up for full-on war against the Tojo. And he doesn't know if he can survive it, essentially. So this is like the last plight of him coming to ask you for advice.
Yeah.
But Kazuma just doesn't want to give it to him. And he ends up like kicking him out of the taxi, essentially. Like, stops at a bridge and is like, oh, I can't drive if you don't tell me your destination. So you need to get out of the cab. And so you're like, oh shit, has he completely turned his back on all of this life of crime? He's changed his name, so he clearly doesn't want to be known as Kiryu Kazuma because the name's got connotations, blah, blah, blah. And then it turns out that Daigo goes missing, and that's pretty much what I've been playing so far, is trying to figure out where Daigo is, who's kidnapped him. Is it the faction he was in town to negotiate with to strengthen the Tojo? Is it the people, the Ryo clan, who were trying to kill the Tojo? And, yeah, it takes some interesting turns so far, and surprise.
Are you unique entry into the series? You know, it's giving you something new you've not experienced before in the other Yakuza games?
Yeah, very much so. It does what Yakuza 3 tried to do with the whole Sunshine Orphanage thing and saying, like, oh, you know, like, we're going to spend all of this time showing that Kazuma's tried to get out of this game and what happened to him and whatever.
Yeah.
But you're actually playing a game rather than, like, fetch questy stuff like you were doing in 3. So it doesn't feel as boring. It doesn't feel as off the mark because very early on in the game, there is races in this game. There are bits of it where you are driving a car and you can modify your car you have a level as a race car driver some weird like gang who's in this town called like stupid name, I can't remember, is this something killers, crashes into your car because apparently they've been like trying to extort people into racing them so they lose their cars to them so they can sell. And when you're taking a guy who's in your car and he's actually a police officer and he's just, oh, they're called the Devil Kings is what they're called.
Okay, yeah, that's a good name.
And he's like, you need to beat them in a race, he said, because then we can arrest the guy, blah, blah, blah. So you do that and it introduces this whole concept of this gang. And then they end up coming for you then because you're like, oh, you were the guy who got a guy arrested. Yeah. So you end up fighting with people because of that amongst all of this like modernity of like driving people around. And when you're
it's quite a big area then if you're driving people
around.
I mean,
like, it's a huge area. It's not set,
it's not GTA 3 even size.
No. It's not that big. It's
even though three isn't the biggest in the series.
I think there's four series. I think there's four cities in the game this time.
Oh, okay.
Which is more than can usually be said. I mean, the stand-in for Shinjuku that's in the previous games is generally very well modelled. Mm. But like Yakuza 3, where you're on an island. God, I can't remember the name of Japanese place names. They are different areas. They are different things. But you will always end up in the main area, which is Shinjuku, because mm-hmm. that's where all of the Tojo clan and mm-hmm. stuff are.
Yeah.
But driving around this place is nice. You can take taxi missions, which mean like you get judged like oppositely of Crazy Taxi, where you're driving around and like you have to indicate when you're turning and you have to stop at stoplights and stuff. And
okay, I've tried to play GTA like that before in the past.
Yeah, but you're rewarded for it here because they're like, you know, it like rates your customer satisfaction on the top right corner, and like if you stop at a stoplight and if you're not driving recklessly, like people appreciate it.
Or if they're just in a hurry, get there as fast as possible. No,
if they're in a hurry, maybe they let you go, but then the races are completely the opposite. You are on the highway and there are set paths where you're going and you're doing laps and stuff.
And how does that driving feel? To
pretty good control, actually. Yeah? Like in a way I didn't think it would. Like as soon as I saw the taxi, I was like, oh man, like driving the speedboat in Yakuza 4 wasn't the best experience. It was passable, but like the car stuff's pretty good. I haven't really got deep into the modifying yet because well, you know me, I don't really like racing games anyway, so I've not really been taking the side missions that are race centric. But from what I understand, it's pretty in depth as well. Yeah. You tune up the car and stuff in the way, same way you would in like a Gran Turismo or something. Yeah. So,
oh, it makes me want to play Need for Speed Undercover on the Wii again.
Yes, go for it, Tom. Go for it. But all in all, like 7 hours in, I think it's a good game. My ranking of Yakuzas currently still stands, and I will withhold judgment because like 4 didn't become my favorite game until very near the end. 4-2.
Hang on, he's got to refer to his notes.
I need to refer to my notes because I have deliberation and I changed these a few times. This is the last I will talk about Yakuza on this podcast, I promise you. So,
I'm disappointed. We've got to find out what you thought of 5.
Well, no, I'm going to tell you what I thought of 5 and then I'll tell you what I thought of 0 initially.
Yeah, please do.
But so it goes. My ranking currently goes 4-2. Kenzen, which is the Japanese one. The
samurai. That's interesting. That's so high.
Yakuza 1. I honestly feel Yakuza 1 should probably be 3 because I don't think any of the games manage to achieve that oh fuck feeling the end of the game. It kind of becomes a trope.
But you still like Kenzen better than 1.
I still like Kenzen, but honestly, like if you can only get one Yakuza game, because in all fairness, it's probably still the cheapest, buy 1. Because that will you will know by the end of 1, despite the combat systems not being sanded
new
off.
One.
Yeah, in fact, I strongly think it will playing Kawaii or whatever it's called.
Kimui or something.
Yeah, that it'll probably push Yakuza 1 higher in my rankings, but we'll see. So there's that, Yakuza 1. Dead Souls, Yakuza 3.
Wow, Yakuza 3. You really don't like that game.
I don't like Yakuza 3. it's not so much that it's a bad game. It's just, it's got a very bland start.
Well, in comparison, though, you've got a lot to compare it with, haven't you, I guess, having played all those other ones. So
it's just, it doesn't
feel... not as enjoyable.
It's nowhere near as enjoyable, and the story's a bit trite, because by the end of that game, like, a lot of the relationships you've built have just kind of been for nothing. It also kind of disregards Yakuza 2 in a way that I don't really like.
Yeah.
Remember I was telling you about, like, you'd built up this relationship with this character all through Yakuza 2 of, like, she's a cop, you're a Yakuza, it's like a Romeo and Juliet thing. And then, like, she immediately fucking leaves. Like, right at the start of the game, she's like, well, I've got to go to Tokyo to pursue my career. And bye! And it's like...
yeah. That's kind of like in a movie where the actor doesn't want to be in the sequel, so they have to write them out in a messy way, usually.
But like I said to you, like Yakuza 2, the ending of that game feels like it was meant to be the end of Yakuza.
Hmm. Where was 2, sorry, in your list?
2 is the second one. 2 was my favourite until I played 4.
Okay.
I still think 2 is a...
4-2. 4-2...
4-2 spin-off, so technically speaking, 4-2, for most
Kenzen,
people...
Dead Souls...
3.
3, yeah.
So, like, for most people, because most people aren't going to play Kenzen, Yakuza is the third, but it's...
Oh, yes.
Man, Yakuza 2 is such a good game, but there's just... See, like, Yakuza 3 for me falls apart on the grounds that they introduce new characters, they're all quite interesting, they're all quite quirky, and then by the end of that story, they're either written out because they die or because they leave. And so you feel like you've completely wasted your time, and it's a complete offset from anything that really happened in the previous Yakuza games. Like, yes, there's this whole thing that the Tojo are trying to protect your land because you're Kiryu Kazuma.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this whole, like, government cover-up conspiracy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't really build on the character of Kiryu in any meaningful way. Mm. And it's not even really reflected in 4. Like,
okay.
Kiryu doesn't, like, go, oh man, fuck, I forgot about this kid who was, like, my protege and died. Mm. I'm really sad about this. Maybe in a side story somewhere, but I never came across it. But 4, for me, is just incredible. The way they refined the combat system. The characters are all amazing. Even, like, Saijima, who's this big dude who doesn't really talk much. Like,
and that's still the PS4 exclusive. PS3?
Yeah.
Sorry, it's because you're saying 4.
PS3.
Yeah.
It is a PS3 exclusive.
Until eventually maybe a remake of...
I don't think it needs one.
No?
To be honest with you, like, I think...
I'm just thinking of the wider audience.
If
maybe
they remake 2... with the updated combat,
I have no doubt
in my mind the 2 will sneak back to the top because it's got an incredible story. But yeah. I have to be honest, there is some padding in 2 that doesn't need to be there.
Uh-huh.
And obviously the combat system is a carbon copy of the first
game.
Did
2 get a remake?
2 did
no,
not.
No, 2 did not. That's why you're saying right now, isn't it?
There was a HD remaster in Japan for the PS3 and the Wii U of 1 and 2.
Yeah,
but they didn't bring that west because
isn't that funny that Yakuza's on the Wii U?
Yeah, honestly, like if it would have come out, I would have loved it because it would have been great. But I mean, it's just in Japan on the Wii U, and it didn't sell very well, which is why we never saw it.
Yeah,
but to be honest with you, I think that's kind of a bit of an oversight because of the lack of games that came out on the Wii U, as they had already localized those 2 games.
Yeah.
Maybe they could have just put it out, and then they would have found a new audience. But I think Zero did that job anyway.
Yeah. Wii U.
Sorry. Yeah.
Have you been enjoying your Switch lately? Did you say you got Splatoon?
I did get Splatoon 2. Yeah. I haven't really had a chance to play it.
I just see a lot on the internet. It's the game of the moment, it would seem. That's the one all Switch players seem to be enjoying.
It's because it's a brilliant game.
Yeah.
And in all fairness, they've not really got a lot else to play.
No.
So...
what's coming up soon?
Rabbids.
I know we haven't really... yeah.
Rabbids is the end of the month.
Rabbids is the next big Switch game.
Oh, God, this... Rabbids, Yakuza came out the same day, which is the 31st, which is great for me because it's payday. There is...
Sonic Mania is out on the
15th. Sonic Mania is out on the
15th. Which is out very soon, and I couldn't be more excited about that one. I still haven't heard anything about a physical version. I have a plan to buy it on the Xbox and later get a physical version for the PlayStation, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's my plan at the moment.
There is a physical release potentially for the Switch, right? Is what I heard.
Ah, there was. I didn't read the article, but...
I'd like
a PlayStation physical version.
Okay. Yeah. So the 8th of August saw the release of Lawbreakers, which is Cliff Bleszinski's squad-based shooting game.
For what?
For the PlayStation 4 and PC.
Oh.
It is, it's kind of like an Overwatch-y type deal, but it's made by Cliff Bleszinski of
Gears
of War. No, it's like Overwatch.
Oh.
Mega Man Legacy Collection 2, which
I forgot that came out.
Some of the later Mega Man games and things like Rockman and Bass.
Yeah, it's got 9 and 10 on
it,
has it?
Yes,
it
does. Yeah. Night Trap, 25th Anniversary Edition.
Without? I can download it?
Yeah. No, on the 15th.
Okay, same day as Sonic.
Yeah. Then we have Agents of Mayhem on the 18th.
Some rumblings about that one.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot, though, surprisingly, considering
trailer on YouTube.
The new Saints game.
Yeah. Apparently, is it a good decision to change the name?
Apparently it doesn't have co-op.
Oh.
Yeah.
God, is it meant to have co-op?
All of the previous
did
Saints
they?
Games
really?
Did, yeah.
I didn't know that.
online co-op.
Oh,
as
yeah.
Well.
Yeah, online co-op.
Thumper's finally getting released on the Xbox One.
It's had a release on the Switch, is that correct?
Yes, it does. Yeah. Apparently it's been very well received on the Switch.
Mm.
What else have we got? Minecraft Story Mode comes out on the Switch. There's a game called Bleed for the Xbox and Xbox One.
Bleed is an old game that was on Xbox 360 Indies.
Really?
And they, I guess they've either redone it or it's the same thing.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
I remember being quite taken with that when I played a demo.
Yeah.
So I think that's a pretty good game, but it is really a game that has been around for a while.
Okay, fair enough. 20th of August sees the release of Formula 1 2017, as well as Madden NFL 18. Then Killing Floor 2 goes to the Xbox One. Windjammers comes to the PS4.
There you go. Killing Floor 2. I played that.
Yeah. Good?
Yeah. It's good. It's pretty intense. It's sort of like zombie mode on Call of Duty. I think very much like, you know, you get a wave of enemies and you get to buy new weapons based on how many points you've scored through the previous wave. But it's intense, I think, mostly because there's a lot of creepy sound effects and all this, you know, and it's constant bombardment. It's a really intense experience, but it keeps up a consistent frame rate.
Okay.
From when I played it, even though there is a lot going on. The last time I played, though, I got stuck in a corner. I got totally surrounded and I could not move. So yeah. I don't know if that's a bit of an issue. It would have been nice to be able to get out of that situation.
Oh.
Although I guess you just don't make sure you don't get cornered.
Yeah.
I suppose is the...
Tom Parry, I got some heartbreaking news for you here.
Oh, don't.
Oh, no, actually, it's the PC release. Don't worry. PC release of Sonic Mania has been delayed for 2 weeks, but it's only the PC. It's all right.
I wonder why.
There's probably a reason in that article, but I'm not going to read that. Then XCOM 2 is out on the 17th of August. The game that they said would never come to consoles, it was purely made for PC, is
coming to consoles. So there's been a few recent things.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just briefly talk about, I think Hellblade looks like it could be a great experience.
I've heard nothing but good things about Hellblade.
I love this idea that you wear the headphones and these voices in her head, you know, because she is going a little bit crazy here. There is some issues that the character has. And I think that could create a really dense kind of involving experience.
I also hear that in Hellblade, if you die multiple times, it deletes your save.
I've also heard this. I like how Ninja Theory are playing this. Like, not, you know, everyone seems outraged about it, you know, and they're not really issuing a straight statement.
Yeah.
They're sort of like, very much so, we made this decision to do it. You know, it's, we're not going to tell you any more about it. We're not going to tell you exactly how it works.
Or, yeah.
You're just going to have to experience it for yourself.
Yeah.
But apparently everyone's like, oh, it's going to put people off if they hear this and everything. It's like, they seem to really much made the game that they wanted to make and they're sticking by their guns, which is great because they're not sacrificing what they created.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember hearing about this game a long time ago. I don't know if I brought it up on the podcast, but I found out PlayStation Magazine from I don't know how many years ago when Hellblade was the cover story.
Yeah.
And they were making a big hoo-ha about it and then it disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, within the last couple of months, it came out. Yeah, it came back, you know, and it was being covered online, you know, and there were trailers. And it was like, oh, great. So Hellblade wasn't canned.
Yeah.
Which was great to hear because I thought it looked very promising. And I'd like to try it, but it's not. I don't think it's got a physical release yet, has it?
No, it doesn't.
And when a game costs about £30, I'm a little reluctant to download a game at that full price. When it's discounted, I might give it a go.
Okay.
Because I would like to play it, but it just seems a little steep for me.
The Wired headline of their review of Hellblade is, this game isn't just metal, it's a horror treasure.
Oh, right, okay.
Generally, from what I've heard on podcasts as well, people seem to be very, very keen on this game.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be one to experience.
Yeah.
Know? It's not every day a game comes around that maybe does something like this seems to be doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, excited about that one.
Yes, definitely.
Excited enough to drop £30 on it, whatever it is.
I'm delaying my purchase of both that and Pyre until I've beaten the Yakuza games.
Mm.
And that's purely on the thing of, well, I have several games on my shelf now that are lined up for like my post-Yakuza binging.
There's too many games.
There is too many games. And I'm trying to cut back on playing the games I'm already playing anyway. Mm. So it's just like, well, I could buy these things. I really want to buy Pyre. because I love Super Giants games.
Yeah. Like, well, it's all right holding off for a bit because it will eventually get cheap.
Yeah.
And but, well, why not just wait a while? You know, if you've got everything else keep you busy.
I just don't, you know, like, it's down to me not... I would, honestly, like, Ninja Theory, yeah, okay, I'll wait for Hellblade to drop down in prices, fine. I probably won't beat it because it's a horror game and I never end up beating horror games as a rule.
About a 6 or 7 hour game, I
yeah,
think.
But it's also like, that's out. Tacoma just came out as well on the Xbox One.
Uh-huh, I don't think I know that.
Tacoma is...
Oh, Tacoma, I thought you just said Coma. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I've heard that's had lukewarm reception.
I hear it just doesn't really... I hear that it does nothing really that Gone Home didn't. Which is interesting because that game's been in development since Gone Home. Yeah. I think the fact is there have been so many other great games in that style since Gone Home.
And again, don't knock it till you tried it. That's my opinion on these things.
I'm not going to.
What I'm just saying, and based on reviews, now maybe they say it's not so good, but I would not.
I've come to the conclusion that I very much like that genre, even though we've talked about all... I think we've genuinely talked about all of the games that are the heavy hitters in this genre on this podcast.
Well, we've talked about Firewatch and Rapture.
What remains of Edith Finch, Rapture, I've played Soma, like Gone Home, the big games in this genre. Dear Esther, like...
I haven't played that yet.
What the hell was the name of that other game that I played that I didn't like? That was really stylistic.
Was
with
it
music.
One word? I mean with V.
Yeah.
Not
God,
Valerian.
What's the name of that? What's the name of that game? Oh,
Virginia.
Virginia. Yeah.
There you go.
Like, any time one of these games comes out, I'm curious enough to play it because I kind of like them. I think. What Remains of Edith Finch. Edith Finch. And Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. I hold to such a high bar.
Yeah.
That I think it has to be that good. It has to do something to make you question those games and to make you go, wow, okay, this really takes this somewhere. Because in all fairness, it's just first person walking. Like, As derogative as that sounds to say it is a walking simulator, that is 9/10 of what you're doing. Edith Finch allowed you to do something a bit more, which is why I appreciate that, even if the story isn't as good as Rapture. But Rapture is, you are literally walking around a town.
Yeah.
But the story is incredible. I will play Tacoma.
Maybe when it's discounted again now.
Maybe when it comes onto the PlayStation 4 so I don't run into the same thing that happened with Inside.
That's fine. I was just looking at maybe some of the games that I've picked up in the last week.
I will say the only game I've picked up in the last week is Kessen 2 for the PS2.
Oh, yes. Why?
I have never played any of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms games, and it was 5 kroner. So.
Okay. Because it was cheap, then.
Because it was cheap, and in all fairness...
And you were
like,
curious.
I'm curious about it, because from my understanding, it isn't your traditional strategy game. There's a bit of Dynasty Warriors-type stuff in it, isn't there? Please? But I also remember it getting 10s out of 10 in like official PlayStation magazine when it came out, so we'll see what that's about.
There's plenty of things I never mentioned, actually, that I picked up in the last few weeks.
All the things you never said, Thomas.
I talked about... Goemon 2, didn't I? I bought that for the N64, the Japanese version.
I think you told me off the podcast you did, yeah.
I bought Puyo Pop for the N-Gage. I still haven't got an N-Gage. I missed out on a bargain N-Gage, right?
Yeah.
Oh, working, you know, even had a SIM card, so I have to faff around getting a SIM card because you need one for it to work. And it went for 37 quid. I just was too busy to keep on top of the auction. I put on about 35 on it.
Oh, Tom Parry.
And so...
I know where you can get a new in-box one for 60.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I got Puyo Pop.
And the good model.
Okay, yeah, it's usually the other model that I find.
Yeah.
I heard about a game called Death Row, which is a sports game for the Xbox. It's like a cyber sports game.
You talked about
this
ages and ages ago.
I can't remember talking about it, but I heard about it and thought, wow, this is an Xbox exclusive. It looks cool. It's had good reviews. I'll try that one out.
Yeah.
So I think it sort of seems like a rollerball type.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about this game.
So I found that. I picked that one up. I thought, I haven't got a James Bond game for my PSP, so I thought, well, I'll get From Russia with Love for £6, so I picked that one up.
Fair enough.
Not got a James Bond game for the Mega Drive, so what did I buy?
Oh, Jesus, the one with...
The Duel with Timothy Dalton on the cover, yeah. I looked at the two versions available, the Master System one, and maybe there's more, but I know there's a Master System one and the Mega Drive one. And the Master System one didn't have any music.
Really?
And the Mega Drive one did, so I bought the Mega Drive.
Interesting. Oh, I take it back, by the way, those N-Gages have both been sold.
Oh, well. It's just not my destiny to get an N-Gage.
No,
is it?
It isn't.
I maybe told you at a podcast that I bought Quake for the Saturn for a reasonable price of
£13.
And I bought a job lot of Puyo Puyo games for the Game Boy.
Oh, you bought all the...
Yeah.
The Japanese ones.
For like £1 each or something.
Yeah, they're not expensive.
Yeah, I bought the first, the second, the one for the colour, mm-hmm. which is Puyo Puyo's son, and also bought, the Game Boy Advance Dr. Mario and Panel Dupont collection, yeah. Japanese one, as the others are a bit more expensive.
Fair enough.
Steep Soap Sliders for the Saturn, which is a snowboarding game on the Saturn, which is apparently
rare. Say that again.
Rare. Steep Slope Sliders.
Steep Slope Sliders?
Steep Slope Sliders.
Oh, well, we got a podcast title.
Because don't have a snowboarding game on the Saturn.
Okay.
I bought 3D Movie Maker for the PC.
Okay.
This was branded Nickelodeon, and I played this once in a shop. There was a demo of it, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever, and I have a strange nostalgia for it, despite the fact that I only played it that one time in a shop. And so that's the cover of it. You can see some...
Oh, shit, I remember that.
Yeah, you see some crazy characters in there. It's got Rocco and Itkiss, I think, from Real Monsters, and Ren on the front. So...
Oh, man. I remember that.
I've always wanted a copy of that.
My friend Chris had that. We used to play that between playing Lego Races on his PC.
Yeah. And I went Blaze Blue. I'm going to call it Blaze Blue because it is Blaze Blue, not Blaze Blue, isn't it? Even though I haven't got an E.
I think it's Blaz.
Is it Blaz?
I think it's Blaz. I think we've been saying it wrong this entire time.
Okay, we'll call it Blaz Blue. I went on a binge of Blaz Blue games. Because for a long time I was, I don't need all those different versions of it. I've got one for like every console. I don't need... Anyway, what am I like? When I saw the latest one, Central Fiction for PS3, brand new for £6 on eBay, I thought, wow.
It'd be rude not to.
And then I was like, I've not got a Blaz Blue game for the... Xbox One, and then I saw that for £5.50.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I'll get that one. Even though I've got a PS4, I'll get that one just so I have it on the Xbox as well. And then they had the PS3 version of the same game for £5.76. So I thought, let's get the PS3 version as well. Why not? So I bought that game numerous times.
Yeah.
But very cheap.
So that's close to £20 that you could have spent on Hellblade. Just pointing that out to you.
Well, that's 15. Well, no, 16,
it's £18.
£18 on 3 Blaz Blue games. But I didn't stop there.
Oh, God damn it. Okay.
I bought the Chrono Phantasma Extended Limited Edition for the Vita for £14.
Okay. So now we're over the cost of Hellblade. Yeah. Carry on.
And that's it. Okay. I bought the Jungle Book on Blu-ray from
1942.
The original.
Yeah.
No, not the Disney.
Oh.
No, the one with Sabu in it. I don't know if you've ever seen this film.
No, I have not.
I was watching this as a kid a lot. That's the German
Never
cover.
Seen that. Okay.
It's a great film and very nostalgic for me.
I take my Whoopi-Doo back.
What?
I said I take my Whoopi-Doo
back.
Oh,
your Whoopi-Doo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been quite prolific with the games, but... I'd say all those things I've picked up, and they've been over a number of weeks, actually. Just the Blaz Blue were the recent ones.
Again, I'm just going to point out you spent £32 on Blaz Blue games.
Yeah, but how many did I get for that price?
How many are you not going to play for that price?
I'm gonna play them all.
Checkmate, sir.
But you know what I'm like with fighting games. And I've been long putting off getting them, and I was never going to get them if they were like expensive.
Yeah,
but I think when they're like £5.50 each, £6
each. You could have just bought Hellblade, which is a game you've genuinely just admitted on this podcast you've been looking out for and wanting to play since the PlayStation fucking 3.
But when a bargain comes along, Matthew, you got to grab a bargain. I will grab a bargain when Hellblade is discounted because I'm a bargain hunter.
You're a bargain hunter?
I'm a bargain
By
hunter.
Joe.
And I would have not spent more than I spent on those Blaz Blue games.
There was a book on this table, Tom, which is about budgeting and stuff. Yeah. And the first sentence in the book is, and I quote, it is not
don't
a bargain
buy a bargain
if you were not looking for it.
Yes, I've heard that, and I know that well.
Yeah. So you bought BlazBlue, 4 games in that series, in fact, which is a series you have often talked about not actually really enjoying.
Well, let's give it another go. what am
so
I like?
I
once,
watched,
yeah.
I watched the latest episode of Game Chasers, which I'm not suggesting anyone who's listening to this podcast does, because it's not very good. But there's a point in time where they go to a flea market and they buy a pinball machine, the Australian guy that I can't remember the name of, who you're not a fan of. And he says, this is what we do as retro gamers. We buy crap we don't need for money we don't have. I mean, that's not to say you don't have £32 to buy BlazBlue games, but it's kind of a case in point, really, isn't it?
I did not agree with him buying a GameCube because it was there.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, there is a point in time where I would have probably done that.
Because apparently he admitted he bought one a day before or something like that.
Yeah, with leads. I assume.
And then he bought one without leads
because
it was $5.
Yeah, because it was $5.
Because it was $5.
Because it was $5.
In no certain circumstance, you know what I say to myself? I say, I've got a GameCube, right?
Yes.
Okay, it's not broken or anything. Yep. It's perfectly good. Uh-huh. I let someone else have it.
In those circumstances, I think to myself, do I need this? No. Do I know anyone who else needs this? You have often been the benefit of this.
Yeah, true.
And then I go, okay, cool, I'll leave it.
My friend Mike gave me another GameCube.
Really?
Didn't he? I told you this. It's the one I have in Denmark.
Oh, no, I didn't know this.
Yeah, that black one.
Yeah?
Yeah, he gave me that.
Okay. Interesting.
And I thought that was really good for me because I just kept one in the UK and one in Denmark. So if you live in two countries and are moving between the two of them...
Yes.
Quite good.
I honestly, as someone who lives... who has lived between 3 countries at one point, because technically some of my stuff was also in London when I first moved to Denmark. I recommend having a second console, one for each of those places, because alas, as I learned with my Super Nintendo and my N64, if you fly with those fuckers, they will break. Yeah. So
I haven't been as unlucky as you.
You have not, admittedly.
But where are you putting them? Hand luggage? Any broken hand luggage or suitcases?
No, I didn't. This is the lesson I learned, is always put consoles in hand luggage.
There's one time when I put a hand...
I did have a
console. I put a 360 in hold luggage once.
Yeah.
But it was wrapped up in a towel.
And
it was fine.
I literally wrapped my Super Nintendo in absolutely everything that was in that
bag.
But
I don't think a Super Nintendo is as heavy duty as a 360.
I've dropped Super Nintendos downstairs before and they've worked afterwards.
I've also seen some very damaged Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I think it's because there's not much inside it, I guess.
No.
And that shell could just crack.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I still have that broken Super Nintendo in the drawer because it does turn on from time to time, which makes me think that it is still working inside there. It's just like, when I got it here, remember it didn't have sound, so we played Turtles in Time for the first time while bonding without sound. I played through Link of the Past without sound, which is not a way to play Link to the Past. It's a really good soundtrack. But I will fix it one day, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I counted some games recently because I was going through YouTube and I see these game room tours, right? And they seem to like to boast how many games you've got in the collection. Over 7,000 games.
I feel embarrassed by how many games I have.
I'd be slightly sort of like, wow, when you actually put a figure on it, is a little bit overwhelming, isn't it?
Yeah.
You collect games and you enjoy playing them and then you actually think about how many you've ended up with and you think, oh, shit. But yeah, I saw one from Game Chaser that actually it was Billy, and his was a parody thumbnail that said over 16 billion games.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite funny, but the latest one I saw was Metal Jesus, and he was like, he had that 7,000 games. I noticed the one he posted 2 years before, 5,000. In 2 years he'd gained 2,000 games.
I imagine he's probably been given a lot of those games, though.
There's a good chance he has had them given to him. I thought about, well, how many have I got then? Out of curiosity, I wanted to work this out. I went on Retro Collect and I saw the the figure there. It's about 1,675, something like that.
Yeah.
And then that's very specific for something like that, but I think that's close. And then I counted how many Xbox 360 games, because they're not registered on there, and I counted 200.
I have over 200 360 games.
Wow. And then I thought, well, I've probably got 200 again on the PS3. So now we're up to, what, 2,000 games?
I'm about 2,000, I think.
And then I don't count, that doesn't count any imports I own.
Yeah, like, this is the thing. Like, as soon as I start factoring like my Japanese Game Boy games in, I immediately gain like an extra 200 games. And it's just like,
on top of that, you've got Amiga, which I have a reasonable collection for. And then PC as well. I've got quite a few PC games.
I dare to think about how many Commodore games and Amiga games you have in the attic. But then again, in all fairness, fortunately, my dad's probably thrown them out.
Oh, no. Terrible. But it is scary, you know, rather than being a boasting subject, when you think about logistics of having a large games collection. And, you know, if you are to move anywhere, you know, in your lifetime, bringing that stuff with you, it's like, gee, that's a big lot of stuff.
If I were to move from Denmark, I would pare down my collection considerably. I'd still keep all my Game Boy stuff. I would still keep my NES and my Super Nintendo stuff. I would probably get rid of most of my PS2 games. All of my Sega stuff would go, because I have no sentimental attachment.
You wouldn't get rid of
Yakuza,
though.
Oh, I mean, like, console-wise. Like, my Yakuza games would definitely come with me. I have a lot of JRPGs that I would probably get rid of. I have a lot of very interesting but not very good PlayStation 1 games. Like, essentially, like, the collection I came to Denmark with would go with me wherever. That contains all of my childhood games.
Well, you feel like you had maybe a period where you were buying a lot of stuff because it was cheap.
Well, I mean, like, in all fairness, history's kind of proven me right with that one, because there was a time, obviously, you and I were both there while we were going to GameStop here in Denmark. Yeah. Pretty much every other day, I'm buying like 5 PS2 games because they were 5 for 100 kroner.
Now, usually stuff you wanted to play, but I know you bought a couple. Like, you bought Madden on the 3DS, didn't you?
Yeah, because it was 5 kroner.
Yeah.
And I've got one or two like that, because at one point, after I completed my Game Boy collection, I was entertaining the note of like, oh, do I try and go for a full Vita set? Do I try and go for?
Ooh.
And no, I don't, because that's fucking insanity. Like,
you know, I've seen Vita sections in shops that are just like anime covers all across the board.
I've seen Vita sections in shops that don't exist anymore. Yeah. They have like one copy of Uncharted: The Golden Abyss in it. But
and now with things like Limited Run, you're never gonna get a full set. If they count, do they count?
I guess they. I don't know.
Because I heard recently that the Night Trap physical copy sold out straight away, and Wonder Boy.
I wanted Wonder Boy. Couldn't get it.
Yeah,
sold out straight away.
I heard
away.
That as well. You know, those people who were after it were there when it went on sale, and they couldn't get a copy.
I was there. I understand their business model, but at the same time, it's just like, you've seen 5,000 copies of this now. Like, there are clearly more than 5,000 people who want a copy of
if you could
Monster Boy.
Production run, you could sell double.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I understand that maybe there's a danger in doing that, and maybe there's, you know, there are some games where they've stocked and then they've been available for a couple of weeks.
I remember Octodad was one they were trying to shift at one point.
Yeah, but it's like, did you really think that no one would want fucking Wonder Boy?
Yeah.
Do you really think no one would want Night Trap? Like,
I think if they do it on a case-by-case basis and not just have a set number for each one, maybe that's because they like that rule.
No, but they don't have a set number for each one of
them.
They
don't.
Because the earlier Vita games, like Oddworld New and Tasty, is like 1 of 1,000.
Right.
Like, very early on in that thing, these games were even lower quantities. Mm. So they've upped them as they've gone along.
Mm.
But it's just, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, they're upping them across the board rather than looking at specific cases of games, aren't they? And saying this one's probably going to be more desirable than that one. And then,
I guess so. Or maybe they're just like, they're aware that they can sell 5,000 now. But the issue for them, I think, is, and I've talked about this podcast before, is that they do one every fucking week now.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is an expensive hobby anyways. Yeah. Like, you and I can both attest to like maybe spending a bit too much on games sometimes.
I spent 60 quid on Conker, didn't I?
You did?
But that was good.
Oh, yeah, but that was good. Like, I still, half of me is still like, shit, I should have just bought that game, even though I needed to buy Flights Home and stuff. The other half of me is
I'm very happy that I
didn't. Yeah, I'm sure you are. But it's like, at the same time, it doesn't matter that I didn't buy it, because in all fairness, probably wouldn't have played it.
I have definitely played it.
Yeah. But, I mean, I can't even remember the last time I set my N64.
So, talking about Conker, it's reminding me that Ukulele's had a huge update. I might play it again.
That'd be great. I wish I had my copy that I kickstarted. That'd be real nice.
You never got it?
Never got it.
You've not had much luck with that, have you?
I didn't get Night in the Woods either. But in all fairness, I think if I reached out to the people who made Night in the Woods, they'd be more forthcoming.
I think you'd get Ukulele as well. Did you reach out to them?
I haven't tried it. I sent them a message the day it was released. But as I know from my experience with Superhot, they get like the guy who messaged me about Superhot apologized and said like, we literally had like thousands of messages the day.
But
this
you
game
got went. Superhot in the
I
end.
I did get Superhot in the end. It's a very good game.
You could get Ukulele.
I need to like I met like.
But you're not that bothered now, are you?
No,
but you paid for it.
I did pay for it, so I should get it.
You should get what you paid for.
The people, in all fairness, now I'm actually remembering the situation. The people who made Night in the Woods did actually send me a message pretty much straight away and said, "Hey, you need to email these people." It was those people who I emailed that didn't reply, but that was their distributor, that wasn't them. So at least they were nice enough to email me back. So maybe if I messaged them again, I'd sort that out. But
yeah, as long as there's still a record of you having purchased something, then you should.
Yeah, yeah. I was one of the first backers of Night in the Woods. Yeah.
I thought I'd never get that, what was it called, for the NES? The
Blinking Light Wind.
The Blinking Light Wind.
Why can't I remember the name of that? And you can't. I didn't even buy one.
And eventually, it appeared. It wasn't quite perfect.
No.
And they soon would ask if I wanted to replace it with one that didn't kind of grip your cartridges like a vice.
Oh, okay.
But by that time, I'd already installed it and I wasn't keen to take it all apart and send that one back and wait for another one. So yeah. I just said, I'm fine with my pliers and towel.
Yeah.
To get the games out.
Oh, man.
I've seen this system you can buy from, what they're called?
Retron.
Is it Retron?
Yeah.
They've got the smaller NES HDMI. That I've seen a few reviews on and I've not heard that. I've heard actually the opposite, that is very competent. And
I heard it was not very
absolutely
good.
Absolutely fine.
I heard if you're going to get an aftermarket NES, you should get that one made
that's
by the people.
That super expensive
who,
one.
They made a more budget version of it.
Right. I heard nothing bad about the Retron NES, other than the fact the colours were screwed up on WrestleMania.
I've heard that it's essentially the same issue with other Retrons, is that it's emulating games rather than
apparently
playing them properly.
It's hardware.
Interesting.
That's what I heard.
Interesting.
That console is about 40 to 50 quid.
I think.
And it's hardware emulation, and you can switch between PAL and NTSC regions.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people complaining about that system.
Maybe
on
it's a different one.
No, it's.
Well, is it the one that's available on Zavvi? You can buy it through British stores.
It looks like
stores.
An NES, right? It's got the colours.
It's
and
got
stuff,
the colours
and
it's got that angle on the front right hand corner, which is the Retron thing that lights up.
Yeah, I'm 90%
sure sort of
it's the same
console. Kind of rounded NES controller, kind of more moulded. That thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's by Retron. I heard bad things.
I've heard good things.
But these are also the same people who spent 200 quid on that other console, so maybe that's factoring into the
decision. I think for those just wanting something to play in HD, that would probably suffice for the majority of games.
It probably would, actually.
I was curious about it myself because it is a bit of a pain having to yank my NES cartridges in there.
Yeah.
I know I had the option to fix that, but play on HD as well.
Yeah,
it's rather tempting prospect.
Yeah,
could buy Hellblade though, couldn't I?
You could buy Hellblade. It's pointing that out because you already have an NES.
I do.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll message him. Maybe we'll see how it goes. I still really want to play Night in the Woods. Ukulele, not so much. But you are right. I did pay for it.
The patch is out now, so I'm going to download the patch and give that a go. We'll let you
know. Apparently, they're going to update No Man's Sky next week.
Yeah, I heard that too. Yeah.
And so I will do what I usually do and pull out No Man's Sky and put it in.
Hope you've got room for the patch on your PlayStation.
Yeah, probably not. I didn't have enough room to install Tekken, but we'll see what goes. Yeah. Still got that game installed. It's one of those ones that I should really delete. I should also just delete Skylanders because I'm never going to beat that game.
Oh, Superchargers. Yeah. You weren't so into that one, were you? No.
Anytime I've tried to convince my fiancée, Marta, to play it with me, she's like, it's not very good.
Do you want to play it on your own?
I could. But it was like, we played Giants, we played Trap Team, not Trap Team, what's the Swap Force? And we both really enjoyed those games. We just didn't think Superchargers is that good.
I tell you what, I played Superchargers with Claire and she really wasn't into it. I felt like I was trying to force her to play it with
it's not as good a game. Like, if you ever played Swap Force, it's really enjoyable.
Yeah, I think it's because it's slightly more complex, isn't it?
It's just the
layer the cars bring to it makes the added layer of complexity, which isn't...
Doesn't need to be there. It also means that both of you aren't playing at the same time a lot of the time.
Yeah, and those
one of his controlling
controls
guns.
For the car are iffy.
Really not a good
it's
game.
It's difficult to play.
How was Imaginators, though, in comparison?
Really good. I'd recommend Imaginators. If you want to jump back on the bandwagon...
I'm tempted to pick it up the Switch.
Now is the time to get Imaginators, I think, because, as I said last time, everything's going a bit cheaper. Best one I played in a while. Love this customization thingy that they've got going on.
Yeah,
don't really like how it's implemented with the having to buy the crystals in order to make the characters. Yeah. But I like how collecting those upgrades in game is really satisfying.
That's cool. Yeah, I've had it watched for a while on Switch because you can pick it up from about 18 quid.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, that means you carry Skylanders around in your bag with you and use the built-in thing to...
I guess so.
Oh, no, that's for Amiibos, isn't it?
Yeah.
You still need a portal?
I think it's got a... Yeah, it comes with one. I'm looking in
it now. Oh, it'd be great if you didn't need the portal and you could just use the Switch's... is it called IF?
Yes. RFID.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, on your hiccups, maybe we should wrap up this podcast.
Where they came from.
If you've liked this podcast, you can find more of it and us in a variety of places. You can go to tommattack.com/podcast, go to blastprocess.com, and also the Blast Process YouTube channel to listen to this fine here audio recording. You can also go to iTunes, where you should give us a cheeky rate and subscribe. You can find us over on Facebook at facebook.com/TomMattAttack. If you have any burning questions, you can ask them there, or on our Twitter at TMAcast.
Yes, please do let us know if you like Yakuza.
Yes.
That is our question of the week. What have you played Yakuza? Any of them? If so, what do you think of it? We'd love this kind of back and forth, because the thing is, Matt's played these games. I haven't.
Yeah.
So I can't really have a great back and forth conversation.
We talked about this recently after the movie episode.
Yeah.
Is that we were thinking of changing up the format of this podcast a little bit. It will still be the conversational banter between Tom and I,
but it would mean us having to play the same games.
It would, but I think that would perhaps be interesting, because
I'd love to be able to have a conversation with you about a game we both played.
Yes,
but that hasn't happened in a while, has it?
Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should both pick a new release or relatively new release for next week.
No. Not going to happen, is it?
No.
There's something I've talked to you off the podcast.
Okay. Maybe we'll do something around that. But if you have any ideas, even for format changing up in of this podcast, and that's a technical term, changing up in, you should do so at TMAcast or on facebook.com/TomMattAttack. Or tell me and Tom directly. You can find Tom at TomParry11 and me at GameBoyle. Incidentally, go check out some Parry's pickup videos. I'm sure there are some in the works.
Yeah, another one this weekend. It'll be about PS4 games.
Yeah.
I cover Yakuza 0.
Oh, and I will also be putting up a new biographic, probably by the time you listen to this, on Mr. Nuts. Spoilers. It's all right. Okay, cool. That brings us to the end of the podcast then. So there's only one thing left to say, Tom. A one and a two and a one, two, three.
Game on.